The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Thank you very much for that. That was wonderful. And by the way, happy anniversary, wedding anniversary, 36 years today. Is that right? To you and your precious wife. That is wonderful for Brother and Mrs. Boakley. And so you be sure to wish them a very happy anniversary. We love you, and we're so glad that we get to be a part of your life. And happy anniversary. I hope you have many, many more years to come, and hope when you both lose your teeth, you're able to gum each other to death. Ezekiel chapter 24. I want to speak tonight on what do you do when you're in your valley? What do you do when you're in your valley? Now, I want you to understand Ezekiel is in a personal valley. And when you go through valleys, you go through them alone. Most of the time when you face valleys, depressing times, times of discomfort, times of disappointment, times of disparity, maybe a personal tribulational period that you're going through that you're more than just slightly challenged. Most of the time when we go through valleys in our life, we don't go through valleys with great glee and with a gayness about us of happy. And by the way, gayness used to be a good word. It meant happy. It's been distorted today, but that's not the way. That wasn't the original intent of the word. But when you go through valleys, you know, most of the time, you don't go through them happy. You don't go through them with a lot of joy. It's a lot of darkness. It's a lot of, I don't understand this. It's a lot of, well, I didn't see that coming. And it's a lot of, oh, that one caught me off guard. And you really don't get a calendar. I know I don't. You really don't get a calendar down and say, well, today this is going to happen and I'm going to plan for it. Most of the time when you go through valleys, they're not planned for. Matter of fact, you'll see in the book of Ezekiel chapter 24 and in verse 18, here's what the Bible teaches, and he says, so I spake unto the people in the morning. And at eve, the Bible says, my wife died, and I did, watch what it says, in the morning as I was commanded. Now, understand that God had shared with Ezekiel what was going to take place. So he did understand what was about to take place in his life. As a matter of fact, God even said that when this takes place in your life, here's my instruction for you. In other words, he said, this is going to happen. Here's how you're going to respond. Now, would to God, God would do that much for us. But he doesn't sometimes, most of the time. But for Ezekiel, he did. In Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 15, if you'll gaze at that verse, the Bible says, also the word of the Lord came on to me saying, now watch what the word of the Lord came on him saying in verse 16. It says, son of man, behold, he said, I take away, now watch what it says, from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. He said, I'm just going to tell you that Ezekiel, I'm going to take your wife from you with a stroke. Now, I don't know what would happen. I really don't. I hope I could be a good Christian. I hope that I would never get bitter. I hope that I would never get mad at God if God chose to take my wife away from me with a stroke. I hope that I would be able to do like Ezekiel did do, and that is that he didn't cry. He didn't shed a tear because God told him not to. He was obedient to God, and he just got up in the morning and did as he was commanded. I just don't know if I could be that good of a Christian, just to be honest with you. I don't know if God had commanded of me not to shed a tear and just get up and go about my business if I could do that. I love my wife dearly. This next year, we'll be married 30 years, and it's been a good haul, and I'm looking forward to the next 30 years. But may I say, the Bible says here, yet neither shalt thou mourn, it says, nor weep. It says, neither shalt thy tears run down. He said, now, Ezekiel, I'm telling you, here's what's going to happen in your life. I'm going to take your wife. I'm taking your wife. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to take your wife. I'm going to take her with a stroke. And as I take your wife with a stroke, here's what I'm telling you. I don't want to see you mourning. I don't want to see you weeping. I don't want to see one tear run down your face. Now that's what God is telling Ezekiel. He says, but forbear, look at verse 17, but forbear to cry. He says, make no mourning for the dead. And watch what he tells him to do. He says, but watch it, the latter portion of verse. Put on thy shoes upon thy feet, cover not thy lips, eat not the bread of men. And then he says in verse 18, so I spake unto the people in the morning. Watch what he says. Now, God has just given him a command. God gave him a command. The command involved this. God said, as your wife is taken in a stroke, I don't want you to shed a tear. I don't want you to weep. I want you simply to get up in the morning. Don't even mourn over the dead. He said, I want you to put the shoes on your feet. I want you not to cover your lips. I don't want you to eat the bread of men. But here's what I'm telling you. God says, this is what I'm telling you to do. He says, but I want you to go out before the people. And he said, I want you to let them know, okay, that your wife is dead. And I did in the morning, he says, as was commanded. He said, so here's what happens. It happened. I mean, the wife died, and he got up, and he said, I went out, and I did as God had commanded me to do. And I tell you that Ezekiel is a great Christian. Would you identify by saying amen to that? Amen. He's a great Christian. Would you understand tonight that that's probably a hard thing to do? All of a sudden, you bury your beloved, the one that is called the desire of thine eye, and you bury her, and the very next day, you're going to get up. You're not going to cry. You're not going to weep. You're going to get out there and you're going to preach the Bible just like God had commanded you to do. In other words, God said, get over it and get over it quick. That's a hard road to hoe. May I tell you that we understand in the scriptures that there's going to be physical valleys. Sometimes those physical valleys will take our very existence as we see it or as we know it, it will begin to take that away. Now, may I tell you, when valleys come, let me give you three statements tonight. When valleys come, you can either give up or you can get up. When valleys come in your life, you can either give up or you can get up. How many times have I seen God take a baby and all of a sudden the baby is now taken and instead of somebody getting up, they give up? How many times do I see that all of a sudden a child goes into rebellion and instead of the parents getting up and trying to help that child, they simply give up and they walk away? How many times have we seen people get in car accidents and getting in a car accident instead of saying, I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep serving God, they just give up and they just walk away? How many times does a person lose a friend? Yes, that friend has hurt you and that friend has dug at you and that friend has tried to cause ill will about you, and all of a sudden instead of getting back up and helping and loving and being what you ought to be, here's what we decide to do sometimes. We decide just to give up. And may I say tonight, nowhere in the scriptures does it say that you should give up. You may have a physical valley, but you're not supposed to give up. You may have a financial valley, but God doesn't say you're supposed to give up. You may have an emotional trial, but God doesn't say you're supposed to give up. You may have a spiritual challenge tonight, but may I tell you, you ought to trust in God enough to help you through the trial and not give up when all of a sudden something doesn't go your way. I'll not relatively say the pastor's name, nor will I give evidence to where the church is located. I remember many years ago that we found out something was happening that was very wrong in the church. Very wrong. I'm talking about breaking scripture. I'm not talking about a preference. I'm talking about breaking scripture. Something was very wrong, and so I went in and I approached the pastor and I said, Pastor, I need to submit my resignation. And he said to me, he said, look, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, don't you tell anybody what's going on. He said, if you don't tell anybody, I'll make sure that you're well known in fundamentalism. He tried to buy me off. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I've got to go. I promise I won't tell anybody. And by the way, I was a good boy. I never one time in any time in my life have I ever said a negative word, not one word against my man of God. Never. Not one time. Never criticized. Never lifted my hand against God's anointing. Not one time in my entire life. And I think God's blessed me because of that. But I remember saying, I'm not going to try and hurt you. I'm not going to try and hurt your ministry. I said, but I think I just kind of need to move quietly out of the way. And he said, you know, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if you stay, I'll make sure that you become. And I had a growing ministry, and God was blessing the youth department. And boy, we had the largest youth department in that particular state. And boy, God was blessing. And I was starting to get some invitations to preach at different places and stuff, and boy, God was being real good. But I had to decide that I was going to get up instead of giving up. I remember I was in Cambodia one time, and I'll not say the people's names, but I remember that there was a young man that came to me, and I met him at a conference, and he was down, and things were not going right, and he thought that there was no more use for him in the ministry. I said to this young man, I said, I tell you what, I said, why don't you come with me and let's travel overseas, because God's not done with you. I took him under my wing, and we went overseas. And I remember one time in Cambodia that he got some friends together and came into the conference tent, and he came up to me, and he said, Brother Wells, I really believe that I can run this conference a whole lot better than you. He said, why don't you just give it over to me? And I'll be honest with you, I was heartbroken. But I had always been looking for a vacation. So I looked at him and I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I've always wanted to go hiking through the woods of Cambodia. There's some great temples down there. And so if this is God giving me a vacation, this is neat and I'll take it. But I said, we've only got one problem. This is not my conference. I said, this conference is done through a local church, and there's one man of God that runs the thing. He's called the pastor. So I said, you go to the pastor, and if the pastor says, I want you and I want Brother Wells to take a hike, I said, I'm for it. I need a vacation. I'm for it. But if the pastor says, no, it's not the way it's going to be, then I suggest you just be quiet, and we'll go on about our business. So he is all excited, man. He went into the preacher, and he said, you know, can I have this conference? And the man of God said, are you kidding? Man, Brother Wells has put all the money in this thing. He's got preachers here. He said, are you kidding? He said, no. He said, no, if anybody's going to leave, he said, you're going to leave. He said, but I would suggest that you stay and learn some things. Now, may I say, listen, you have to decide. And by the way, I was heartbroken. You're going to have some heartbreaking times in your life. Do you understand that? You're going to go to the dentist, and you're going to think that everything is great, and you don't have a cavity, and come to find out you got five. You're going to go to the bank and you remember how much money you put in, but you forgot all the checks that you wrote and it's a different balance than what you thought. You're going to look at a girl one day and you're going to say, I know that that's the one for me. The only problem is God has not told her. You're going to look at a boy one day and you're going to say, that's the one that God has brought into my life. And boy, look at him, and he's everything that should be. And wow, look at him, and I can't wait. I know what he's going to do. I see him walking down the hallway. He's got it planned in his noodle that he's going to come up and ask me out. Hello? And all of a sudden, you're standing there with great anticipation. He walks down the hallway and passes you up. Doesn't even know you exist. Hello? May I tell you tonight that we have to understand some principles here. And by the way, I was talking about a man that was 40 and a girl that was 35. Can I tell you, you're going to go through some valleys, but when you go through some valleys tonight, don't quit. When you're going through your valleys tonight, don't give up. When you're going through the valleys tonight, don't throw in the towel. When you're going through the valleys tonight, don't lie down and play dead. when you're going through your valleys tonight, simply pick up your Bible and read it again. Get in your prayer closet and pray again. Keep your giving up. Keep your gospel distribution up. Go out, do something for God. Be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do and live for God. Keep your schedule. Because if you don't keep your schedule, you will get out instead of getting up. You will give up instead of getting up. How many times have I seen people trip, and because they trip and they don't try to get their balance back, they automatically fall? How many times have I seen people that was running great, and then all of a sudden something hits them from the side and they decide to sit down and to lick their wounds, but while they're sitting down and licking their wounds, somebody else wins the race? I'm saying that it's important tonight that we understand that when the trials come, here was Ezekiel. Ezekiel was told by God, hey, I'm telling you, I'm taking your wife with a stroke, and here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to weep. I don't want you to shed tears. And by the way, that's hard. Is that not hard? It is hard. Not to shed. When my daddy went home to be with the Lord, I wept like a baby for days. I called him up on the phone. He wouldn't answer. He's in heaven. If he did answer, I would have died of a heart attack myself. But every Friday night, I called my daddy at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I got on the phone and I dialed it, 239-7985. That was my number when I was a teenager, my home number, with the prefix 310. And so, Maryland number. And so I would call my daddy, and I went to call my daddy and he didn't answer. Dislocated. Then it hit me when the thing came on and said no longer in service, that I remember then and only then my daddy had gone home to be with the Lord. The absence of that. Carl Hatch and I were very good friends. I love Brother Hatch. Brother Hatch almost became like a daddy to me. And Ruby called me when Brother Hatch was, we were passing through Atlanta, Georgia, staying in those apartments. You remember those apartments? Staying in those apartments. And we're passing through Atlanta, Georgia. Ruby called me on the phone. And she said, Mike, I've got some bad news. I said, what? She said, Carl went home to be with the Lord. I was just overwhelmed. I was just overwhelmed. My wife will remember, I couldn't talk. I went outside, and I just walked the hill over and over again. And I just wept like a baby. I cried and I cried and I cried. I don't know if I'll ever be a good Christian like Ezekiel. I don't know that. I don't know if I'll ever be able to master the emotions like Ezekiel was told to master the emotions and did. I don't know if you'll ever be able to be such a good Christian. I remember when Jonathan married Heather up in Indiana, that the Moores and the McCartys drove up all the way to Indiana just to watch him get married. And Brother McCarty didn't know us well. Not at that time. He fell in love with his preacher, and I thank God for that. But he's sitting on the front row. He didn't know us well. He's bawling like a baby. It wasn't even his son, but he's bawling like a baby. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Did you know sometimes we cannot detach ourselves from the emotions? I've seen people in church, they get happy. And all of a sudden, preacher's preaching, and boy, he hits it, and he's a-running with it. And all of a sudden, somebody will shout, amen. Boy, they get excited. I've seen people start boo-hooing. You wonder why they're boo-hooing. That was the best joke you ever told. Emotions. Emotions. I've seen our teenage girls many times, many times. I remember when I first came, I think the first year, if I remember correctly, there was 17 or 27, I don't know what it was, you're the numbers man, not on that one, but 17 or 27, I can't remember what it was, people that received Jesus Christ as Savior, that was here. I remember kids sitting in the hallway, bawling their eyes out. I thought, what in the world? I remember some young couples that got saved. I remember when all of a sudden some of her teenage girls was so rejoicing that somebody was getting saved, they'd get up here and they'd cry and they'd huddle together and they'd just cry and cry and cry. What is that? Emotions. I've seen people have emotions when they get nervous. You ever see that? Boy, they're standing up here and you can't see it, but we see their knees playing tambourines. And boy, they're nervous, or what they'll do is they'll take their foot behind the pulpit and they'll go like this. Some of the girls will hold the hand of the girl that's next to her and bless that other girl's heart as they squeeze it and the blood rushes. Nervous. Now, I'm saying when all of a sudden something hits you broadside, be very, very careful not to give up. Well, I tell you what, I didn't have a good day at work. I guess I'll just quit. Well, my marriage isn't working. I guess it's not of God. Well, my son or my daughter, they're rebelling. I guess I ought to just kick them out. Well, God's not blessing financially, so therefore, in your face, God, I'll never give again. Be very, very careful that when you go through emotional challenges in your life, that you don't make any decisions based on an emotion. Statement number one, what do we do? We can decide to give up or we can decide to get up. Statement number two, we can decide to get bitter or we can decide to get better. You know, sometimes when you go through emotional trials, it causes you to make choices. Well, I can't believe my mom and daddy treated me that way. That's not right. Careful. You might get bitter. Well, I can't believe my husband. I thought he loved me more than that. Careful. You might get bitter. Well, I can't believe the bus director doesn't have enough confidence in me to drive a bus. It's not my fault I wrecked three of them. Careful. You might get bitter. Well, I wish my husband would get up early. I'm always the first one up. I'm always the first one out of bed. He just lays there with that fat rolling over the sides. I get up and I have to cook. Have to iron the clothes. Then I got to give that sweet, sweet type of endorsement. Honey, your breakfast is now served. Be careful you don't get bitter, but get better. Ruth 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, and they too went on to they and came to Bethlehem. The Bible says, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Listen to it now. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt with me, dealt bitterly with me. She said, look, God's been rough on me. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you that roughness was brought on herself? But she said, don't call me Naomi no more. I left here and I was Naomi. But now I'm returning. I'm Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitterness. You ever see some people go through a trial and they lose their joy? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever seen somebody go through a trial and all of a sudden now they don't smile like they used to and they don't sing like they used to and they don't rejoice like they used to? You know why? Because they took the hand of God working in their life and instead of getting better, they got bitter. Have you ever seen somebody that or they're in their 60s and they look like they're in their 80s? Have you ever seen somebody that's in their 40s and they look like they're in their 60s? Life's been kind of rough on them. May I tell you what? May I tell you that we have to be very, very careful that we don't turn out like a Naomi. Can I tell you about Naomi? Naomi went through some valleys, but those valleys she went through, God put there. Can I tell you about Naomi? The valley she went through was dark, and the valley she went through was deep, and the valley she went through was difficult, but God was going to bring her out. Can I tell you about Naomi? God didn't do that to give her hurt. By the way, God gave her Ruth. Can I tell you about Ruth? Ruth was her friend, and Ruth took care of her, and Ruth was with her throughout all the days of her life. Can I tell you what happened? Naomi, if you would please, would become the great-grandmother of King David. Can I tell you that through King David would come that which is the lineage of Christ? But it was all because here was a lady that came back. She came back from where she left. But what caused her to be bitter? What was taking place in her life when she stepped out? You stay out of the will of God. The longer you stay out, the more bitter you'll get. The longer you stay away from God, the more bitter you get. Can I tell you something? Look at Jacob. Jacob stepped out, I believe, from the will of God. When he left the will of God, he moved 500 miles away from the will of God and stayed out of the will of God for 20 years. Do a comparison. I want you to think about Peter. Denied the faith, denied the church, denied Christ, cursed, took his clothes off, led people to follow him instead of following Christ. He made an exit, and the people said, well, I go with you. You're going to fishing, I go too. That's what they said. So Peter stepped out of the will of God, and as Peter's stepping out of the will of God, people were following him, sort of a domino effect. People are following him. Wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Then 55 days later, you see that Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Now, let me tell you the difference between a Peter and a Jacob. Jacob spent 20 years out of the will of God, moved 500 miles away from the will of God. Got as far away from it as he could. When Peter backslid, I've said this before, he could still look out his window and see the synagogue. He could still look over and see, hey, that's where Jesus walked on the water. Hey, that's the hillside where Jesus fed the 5,000 plus. See, when you backslide, the best place you can be is the place where you should be before you backslid. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I backslid, and so therefore I'm going to run from God. No, when you backslide, stay in church. Let the preacher preach to you. Let the Sunday school teacher help you. You sing the songs of Zion. You let the choir speak to your heart. You stay as close to the will of God. Why? Because that's the easiest and the most reachable place that God could reach into your life. Teenager rebels. They say, I don't want to go to church. What you ought to say is, Daddy, I love you. We're going to church anyway. All of a sudden, young person says, well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to obey God. Well, as you're not wanting to obey God, guess what? We're going to go obey God. Come on. I've said often, come here if you will. I've said often, all of a sudden, Jonathan rises up one day. Now, he won't do it. He's married, but let's say he's a younger boy now. And he lived in my home. And he rises up one day, and he says, Daddy, I don't like church. Okay. Daddy, I don't want to go to church. Oh, okay. Daddy, I refuse to go to church. Oh, okay. You want to say anything else? Well, Daddy, that preacher can't stand the preaching of the preacher. Okay. Anything else? Paul, that altar call. It's stupid. People going down there to kneel on their knees and getting their knees all dirty. Crazy. Okay. Anything else? Now, by the way, when he gets done, when he gets done saying this, that, and the other, I say, now I'm glad you voiced it, and God bless you. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to church. We're going to church. By the way, if you have a godly parent, the godly parent's going to lead you. Hello? Teenager says, well, I don't want to go to soul winning. God bless you. What do you feel about that? I told you I don't want to go soul winning. God bless you. Well, aren't you going to say anything? Yes, get ready. We're leaving in 15 minutes. You mean you're going to make me go soul winning? Well, you've only got 10 now to get ready. You better hurry. You mean I've got to go? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Hello. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, we don't understand. How come, you know, and it was asked us all the time. We were out on the road. And why does your kid show such respect? I didn't demand it. I just inspected it and expected it. I mean, I inspected it all the time. I mean, all of a sudden they said, yes, sir. But their eyes said, no, sir. I said, change your eyeballs. They're not speaking the same as your voice. Change your eyeballs. Hello? You say, you were rough with them like that? Yeah, I'm a man. I'm daddy. Look, I'm sorry. Here's what we got in America. We got a bunch of men that led by a bunch of teenagers. Here's what happens. Let's go Let's go soul winning. What do you mean no? Let's go soul winning. Are you not feeling well? Well, maybe I could stay home with you tonight. Maybe I want to take care of you tonight. Well, that's stiff. Okay. Well, I said, hey, let's go to church. I don't say no to me. We're going to church. I said we're going to church. Why? Well, come think of it, I don't feel like it either. What do you feel like doing?
Staying home.
Hey, that sounds, I've been tired too. Let's just stay home. What do you want to do when we stay home?
Watch a movie.
Watch a movie. What kind of movie?
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith. Let's stay home. You see what I'm saying? Come on, isn't that true? Come here, mama. Come here. I love you. Come here. Go away. Hey, this is the way it is. I'm telling you, this is society. Society. Come here, sweetheart. Apple dumpling. Sugar booger. Thank you. Be seated. Hey, watch this if you will. Watch this. Here's the way it is. Can I tell you the way it is? Here's the way it is. Hey, listen, you know what? There's an opportunity. Opportunity. Preacher's talking about that soul winning stuff. Yeah. I think we ought to go. Yeah. We could do it. We could serve Jesus together. I don't know nothing about it. You don't know nothing about it. Together, we could be ignorant. Wouldn't that be fun? We've done that before. So let's go be ignorant together. You want to? And then the wife says, I don't want to go do that. You know what that does to a man? May I tell you that you're one flesh? Can I tell you you're one flesh? Can I tell you you're supposed to be the helpmeet to your man? That means you come under and lift up. That's what that means. And instead of saying, no, I don't want to do something spiritual, why don't you say, hey, you know, that sounds like a pretty neat idea. I've always wanted to be ignorant with you. And then you go do it. Look, I'm going to tell you, if you would learn to be spiritual together. Look, if you're a teenager, stand up. Would you do this? I want to show you something. Watch this. Oh, no, I'm not climbing them. No. I'm not going to climb them. I'm not going to climb them. You know, most of these kids are standing come soul winning. Here's my worry. Don't get mad at me. Where's mama? Don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. Not at least till I get done the message. Where's daddy? Say, man, you ought to go soul winning, son. Go, go, go. Why don't you show him how? Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you took your son soul winning? football, but we go fishing together. Oh, I'm impressed. Oh, man, we go. Hey, can I ask you something, Mama? When's the last time you took your daughter soul winning? Oh, but we go out shopping together. Wow. Now, I thank God for our teenagers. Thank God for them. What I'm saying is this. Thank you, be seated. What I'm saying is this. Hey, stay here. I like it. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that there's decisions we have to make when the hardships come. You either give up or you get up, you get bitter or you get better. You have to decide how you're going to be. Let me give you a last statement that says, you keep trying and keep trusting. You keep trying and keep trusting. Watch this and I'm done. Job 13, verse 15, the Bible says, though he slay me, you ready for this? Yet will I trust him. He said, God, I know you're slaying me. It's you. But I want you to know something. I still love you. Still trust you. No big deal. Still going forward. Now, you might not agree with your valley, but you still should be able to trust him. You might not fully understand your valley, but you still should be able to trust him. You might not think that you're learning anything through your valley, but you still should be able to trust him. You might not have the power of positive thinking in your valley, but you still should be able to trust him. You say, but I don't have any hope, and I don't see any change, and I'm disappointed, and I'm in despair, but you still should be able to trust him. But I'm giving it my best, and I keep coming up short. You still should be able to trust him. By the way, the little train who could will be the little train who didn't if you don't trust him. You have to decide that you'll trust him. I'm going to go nuts. Trust him. I'm going to go crazy. Trust him. I'm going to fall apart. Trust him. All the king's horses and all the king's men and all the king's psychologists will not put you back together again if you don't trust him. But you'll understand, preacher, I'm just one person and I just can't make it. You and God are the majority. You understand, I'm not prepared for the valley. God knows exactly what valley you need in your life right now. You don't understand, preacher, it's just so hard to take another step. Understand, God is the one that orders our steps. As you decide to step out and be obedient to God, here's what you're going to find. You'll face the financial valleys, but as you trust him, he'll help you keep trying. You'll face the spiritual valleys, but as you trust him, he'll help you keep trying. You'll face the relationship valleys, but as you trust him, he'll help you keep trying. You'll face the employment valleys, but as you trust him, he'll help you keep trying. You'll face the family problems, but as you trust him, he will help you keep trying. You'll face, if you will, please, the guilt valleys, but as you trust him, he will help you keep trying. You'll face the valleys of discouragement. You'll face them, but as you trust him, he'll help you to keep going. You'll face the disappointments in life, the besetting sins in life. You'll face the mother-in-laws, and you'll face all sorts of things in life. But if you trust him, and if you trust him, and if you trust him, and if you trust him, he'll help you keep going. And may I say, he's worthy of your trust tonight. Ezekiel stood before the people. God, why are you going to take my wife? What have I done? Haven't I served you? Haven't I preached your word? God, why are you going to take my wife? God said, not only am I going to take her, I'm going to tell you this. When I do take her, I don't want you to shed a tear. I don't want you to weep. Here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow morning, you're going to get up, and you're going to keep that routine, and you're going to put shoes on your feet, and you're not going to cover your lips. You're not even going to eat. You're going to get out there, and you're going to not mourn, but in the morning, yes, your wife has died, but you are going to do as I command. Now, buddy, that's hard. That's difficult. But that's how you make it through the valleys in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.